and he will always have us. So it's an amazing thing when you look at some of the times, we don't really a lot of times think about the songs that we're singing and the message there, but it is a wonderful message of God's grace and faithfulness, and we are just in awe of that always. So, okay, wave that bulletin a little harder and get some of that air up here. Yeah. I understand, believe me. Well, let's go to the Lord together real quick, and then we'll jump into the scripture. Dear Heavenly Father, we praise you and we thank you for your grace. We thank you for your promises, your faithfulness, and the assurance that you give us. And Lord, as we go through this study this morning, I pray that you'll reveal just more of yourself to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I figure most of you noticed something out of the ordinary. Did you notice anything out of the ordinary? Anybody notice the luggage? Hey, you noticed the luggage. Why did you notice the luggage? Because it's not usually there. Well, I heard something, but I'm not even going to repeat that. No, it's not supposed to be there, is it? It's different. It's noticeable. And it's obvious because it is not supposed to be there. It's not something you expect to see or to experience. And just like the luggage stands out, our faith is to stand out. Our faith is to be obvious. It's to be different. Experience. And so today we're going to finish up our series on faith today, and we're going to be talking about living an obvious faith. And we're going to be in Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16, a very familiar passage to us, I know. But we're going to see what the Lord has for us in this passage today. So we'll be in Mark chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. Matthew, sorry, I said Mark, it's Matthew. If you go to Mark, it's not going to be the right scripture, so don't do that. I do have the right one on the screen today. Every once in a while, I get the wrong thing up there. But this is where we're going to be. So let's take a look there. As we've looked at our series in faith, we've defined faith and we've examined faith and feelings. We've talked about trusting in the in-between and embracing grace. And I think today is going to be a good way to finish things up with obvious faith. So Mark chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that you may see they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. As Jesus begins here, the thing that we need to look at is what is the command that he gives here? The command that he gives is found in verse 16. Let your light shine before others. Let your light shine before others. Here in my translation says before men. I used an older NIV translation and it had different words. That's the reason there's a little bit different on the screen than what you find in my translation that I'm reading. Same thing, before men, before others. I like the term others, so it incorporates everyone. But that is the command that he gives there. Let your light shine before others, before men. And as Jesus begins, he mentions a couple of things right at the beginning before he gives that command in verses 14 and 15. And what is mentioned are very common sights in everyday life. The first thing that he mentions is a city on a hill. He says, you're light of the world. A city on the hill cannot be hidden. He said, a city on the hill can be seen. That's what he's saying. A city on the hill cannot be hidden. In other words, that city is visible all the time. You know? You can see it from all around. You can see it on a sunny day and a cloudy day. You can see it when it's storming and when the days are clear. You can see it in the morning. You can see it at night. Doesn't matter when you look. That city is up on a hill and you can see it. There's not a time of day or night or any season that city is not visible and obvious to everyone in the area, to the residents, and any travelers that may be coming by. The second thing he mentions here is what? A lamp. Verse 15, neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. Now, if someone didn't travel much, they might not have ever seen a city on a hill. They may not have ever gotten there, but when Jesus mentioned this lamp, everybody knew what he was talking about because everybody owned one or used one or had seen one at least. You know, this was a very common thing, so he knew exactly what he was referring to. So when he mentions this lamp, a specific picture comes to mind, and they all know and imagine what it's like for this lamp to be lit and light up a room. And he makes the point that when you have a lamp and you light it, you don't put it under a bowl. You don't hide the light. That would defeat the purpose of the light, wouldn't it? To put it under something, to put it under a bowl, the light can't fill the house, can't fill the room. So to put it under your bowl, what did he say you're to do with it? You're to put it on a stand. You're to put it up high in the middle of the room. And why? So everybody can benefit from the light. Now, when the lamp is lit in a darkened room, is it noticeable? If you have a dark room and you strike a match even, you notice the match because it's obvious. It stands out. It's noticeable. And you put it in the middle of the room so everyone can experience it. Everybody there can see it. Like the city on the hill that cannot be hidden, our faith cannot be hidden. Just like the light of the lamp is to be brought out and shared with everyone, the light of our faith needs to shine so everyone can see it. See, the city and the lamp are both obvious things. They're noticeable to everyone. So when Jesus tells us, let your light shine, he's saying, what? Let your faith be noticeable. Let your faith be obvious to everyone around you. So our faith is to be that. It's to be obvious. We should have an obvious faith. Now, that doesn't mean necessarily. Now, if God tells you to do this, you can. But, and I'm talking about this just as we're fixing to stand out on the street. That really is a good thing. But he's not talking about being obnoxious with your faith. He's not talking about being right up in people's faces yelling and screaming and yelling at them that they're going to hell and there's nothing they can do about it and they're horrible sinners and God hates you and he hates what you're doing. We all have seen people do those kinds of things. We're not talking about making it obvious in an obnoxious way. We're talking about being obvious because of the way we live our life. But in the way we are to let our light shine before those around us, how do we let our light shine? How do we make that faith obvious? Is the question. If that's not the way to do it, to get in people's faces, what are we to do? We look back at verse 16. It says, in the same way. So just as a city on the hill is obvious, just as a light in the middle of a room is obvious, do this. Let your light shine before men. Let your light shine before men. Let your light shine before others. And then do what? By what? How is it that we're supposed to do that? That they may see your good deeds. So how is it that we let our light shine? What do? Through our good deeds. With our good deeds. But not, now remember, this is not just any deeds. These are good deeds. These are righteous and right actions and loving actions. How many of you have ever done anything and went, I probably shouldn't have done that. That probably wasn't so nice. That's not the deeds we're talking about. The deeds are talking about good deeds, righteous deeds, right actions. It's living with an obvious faith and shining a light into people's lives so that they can see it and take notice. See, when we live as we should live, if we walk in faith, it captures the attention of other people. The way we treat others, the way we talk to others, the way we talk about others, our attitudes toward others. All that speaks volumes. And then how we react to life's circumstances. When I hit my thumb with a hammer, what comes out? You know, that makes blood. Yeah, usually. Yeah, I mean, things, how we react to what happens to us in life. The peace that we show, the calmness that we show, the fact that we are not afraid, the confidence that we have as we go through life and face things, because we know we're going to be taken care of. Not only that, but it's also about what we don't do. Did you know one of the best things you can do sometimes is to keep your mouth shut? And that can be the most loving thing you can do, is to keep your mouth shut and not respond. Not participate in telling off-color jokes or laughing at them. Not berating people, not gossiping, not cursing people and devaluing them. See, we also show our faith just as much by what we don't do as what we do. Our actions and our speech speak volumes, but so does our silence. And so does our reaction. See, grace, compassion, and understanding, our willingness to get involved, our willingness to help without having an agenda or expecting anything in return, basically, our loving our neighbor as ourselves, that is not the way the world works as a whole. How many have read the headlines? It's ridiculous. I've seen, just this over the past week, I've seen at least 3 or 4 instances of where older folks have been attacked or killed over stupid stuff. Not to mention all the other violence that's out there. So the world doesn't operate with compassion and love and kindness. So when we do, when we react that way, when we share that kind of love and react in the way we should, what do people do? They take notice. They're surprised. It's like, what? Where'd that come from? How come you're not angry? Have you ever had anybody ask you that? How come you're just not furious? How come you're letting them get away with that? How can you be so calm? People don't get it. And it takes them back. You see, our deeds show our faith. Our deeds shine that light into the life of others. They show the difference that Jesus makes in our lives and how he changes our hearts and the way we live. But deeds do not explain our faith. It's important to demonstrate our faith, demonstrate the love of Jesus, but it's not enough just to love your neighbor and meet a need and not tell them why we're meeting their need and why we're doing what we're doing. Why do we live differently? Because unless we tell them about the love of Jesus that motivates us, tell them about the grace and what God can do for them and how they can step into the light, and they can walk in the light and they experience God's love, all they're getting is an earthly need met. That's it. That's where it stops. So, we've got to tell them and share with them not only the good deed, not only minister to them, but also talk with them. See, if we never tell them, they never get to the point where they praise the Father in heaven. Translation I was using to study is so that they will glorify the Father. If you were wondering, why do we let our light shine? That's why. Why do we let our light shine? It's to glorify the Father, or so that they will praise the Father. That's the point of the entire point of letting our light shine, letting our faith be obvious. Jesus said, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven, or praise your Father in heaven. If we live our faith purposely and we follow the Lord is glorified in a lot of different ways and a lot of different lives, starting with us. Starting with us. As we follow, his power and his love does things in us and for us and through us. And as we watch him do these things, and watch him use us to fulfill his will, guess what we do? We stand in awe. And when you stand in awe, then you give praise to the Lord. And that causes us to say, God is good. Y'all know that saying, God is good? Oh, that's terrible. Okay, let's try it again. God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. So we say, God is good. We say, praise the Lord. We say, hallelujah. We say, thank you, Jesus, because we're seeing him work in our lives as we live out our faith in an obvious way. And then there are our brothers and sisters in Christ. As we live in obvious faith, they are encouraged, and they get to see what we talked about, that undeserved unlimited, unconditional love of Jesus at work in us. And as we minister them, they get to see that at work in their lives as well. They see the Lord's hand move. They feel and they see his love in action. And they're encouraged to live out their faith and to let their light shine. And then as they follow the Lord, they open up their hearts and their lives to him, to what he wants to do. They soon begin to praise the Lord and shout hallelujah right along with us. And then finally, if we live in obvious faith, there'll be those who are lost at the moment who will come to trust Jesus and praise the Father. Because who praises the Father? Is it those who know him or those who don't? It's only those who know him. So when he says, let your light shine and your deeds be seen so that others will praise the Father, he said, if you let your light shine, guess what's going to happen? People are going to come to know the Lord. He doesn't say if. It's a matter of when. So even those who don't know the Father, as we live out our faith and we serve them and we share love of Jesus with them, they get to see Jesus clearly. They come to know that they can step out of the darkness of sin and into his marvelous light. In other words, if we let our light shine and do so in an obvious way, we will do as the song says, we will get to rescue the perishing. So we're not to let our light, we're to let our light shine out into the darkness. Now, when we do, we talked about this already, it's noticeable because when you shine a light into a dark room, you always take note. You always see it. Think about the night sky. I mean, you go outside and if it's a clear night and you're away from the lights, if you're standing outside and your outside light's shining right here, it's kind of hard to see the night sky. But if the night sky is clear and you're away from the lights and you look up, what is your eye drawn to? The light. It's drawn to the stars. It's drawn to the moon. And it's there because it stands out against the darkness that is there. And that's what happens when we shine our light into a dark world. As people encounter our faith, as we love them and we share his love with them in word and deed, and they experience the grace he has to offer, then they are drawn to him as we're drawn to him and as we're continually drawn to him. And they become followers of Christ. Well, now we've seen what the command is. We're seeing how and why we're to let our light shine and live in obvious faith. Now here's the question that I'd like to ask now. Who is the light? See, Jesus said, you are the light of the world. And then he said, let your light shine before men. But is the light that we're shining in the darkness really ours? Of course, as believers, we know the answer to that, right? The answer is no. We are not the light. Jesus is the light. We're simply the vessel that carries the light. The only one who has that light, though, are those who are followers of Christ. Because they have Christ in them. So if Jesus is light, only those who know Jesus have that light. And as we depend on his grace for salvation and wisdom to live a life, we share that with others. I want you to think about that little oil lamp that Jesus is talking about here. It's not, most of them weren't very big. They were generally about this big, and they had a reservoir here with a wick sticking out the end. And that was basically the whole lamp. But I want you to think about those for a moment. If you have a lamp and you have a wick, is that going to give out much light? No, it's not. You could light the wick, but it would light up and then, you know, go out pretty quick. It's not going to give out much light, but if you have that lamp and that wick and no oil, it's not going to function properly. It would not put out any light. So See, the oil creates and sustains the light. Without the oil and the lamp is ineffective. Well, just like the oil has to be in the lamp to light up a room, we got to make sure that we are filled, just like the lamp is filled, but filled with Jesus, because he is the light. If we're going to shine, we got to be full of him, because he's the one that creates and sustains the light. He is the light, and he sustains that within us, for he is the author and the finisher of our faith. That's what Hebrews 12:2 says. See, without Jesus, there's no faith. Without Jesus, there's no light, because Jesus makes it all possible, the faith and the light. Therefore, it's only as we completely trust and depend on Jesus to fill us that we are able to shine that light, that we're able to live a life that is in contrast to the people around us. Because if it wasn't for Jesus, we'd be living the same way. We'd be different because Jesus lives in us. And he leads us into a deeper relationship with him. And if we live our faith out, we will go deeper with him. We'll see others grow deeper with him. And we will also see others who give their life to him for the first time and embrace him and leave the darkness of sin behind. Now, I want to once again go back to the lamp. If I took the lamp and filled it with oil, is there a limit to how long that lamp is going to burn? Yeah. Why? Because the oil is burned off as the lamp shines. You can't just fill a lamp once and that's it. So the lamp has to be refilled, right? Yeah, the lamp has to be refilled. The light, if it's not refilled, what happens? It goes out. It gets dim. It flickers. It goes out. If the light of Jesus is continually shining within us and we're burning the light of Jesus and shining into the darkness, we've got to make sure that our lamp is full, that we are full, that we're full of Jesus, that not only does he reside in our hearts, not only do we have him as Lord and Savior, but we're letting him fill us. And those are not the same thing. You can have Jesus in your life and him not be filling your life. He can be in your heart and not filling your heart. And how often do you need to refill a lamp? Anybody have any idea? Two factors. One, how big is the lamp? That's the first question. Second question is, how often do you use it? If it's a small lamp like this, which most of those were, more than likely it had to be refilled every day. So, how often do you think we need to fill up with Jesus? Every day. Every day. And we do that by praying, spending time with him, reading the Bible, worship, praise, confession, repentance. We spend time with our best friend one-on-one every day, speaking with him, listening to him, drawing strength from him, and allowing him to prepare us for what the day is going to bring. And then as we go through the day, we stay connected through prayer. Paul said what over in 1 Thessalonians 5:17? Pray continually. What that means is just stay connected to the Lord. Have an ongoing conversation with him, asking him to be involved in every part of your life, every conversation you have, and everything that you do. That's what he's talking about. So we have to do that. We have to allow him to fill us every single day, continually. Because if Jesus' light is going to flow into us and out of us, we've got to have him continually refilling the oil that is being burned off. We're like that wick in the oil lamp. The oil flows through the wick and fuels the light. And if the oil is not flowing through that wick, the flame dims. And at best and at worst, it goes out. So in the same way, unless Jesus is continually flowing into us, we're going to soon dry out, and the flame of our faith will flicker, dim, and maybe even eventually die. Now, the more of Jesus we have in our heart, the brighter that light is going to shine. Does that make sense? That makes sense, doesn't it? Yeah. But here's the problem. We don't always allow our hearts to be filled with just Jesus. We allow other things to fill our hearts as well. What would happen if I took that oil lamp and I put a little bit of oil in it? Then I mixed in some water. Then maybe Coca-Cola and Dr. Pepper. Put a little hot sauce in there and shook it up. And then put the wick in and tried to light it and get it to work. You think it would be effective? No. It might light a little bit, but it would not be very bright. And why is that? Because the stuff that's in it is keeping it from burning bright. It's diluted the oil and diminished the light. When we fill our lives with other things, with sin, or even good things, things like family and jobs and sports and all the rest, and we let those things keep Jesus from filling our hearts, they diminish the amount of light that flows through us. So in order to be filled with Jesus and live that obvious faith, we've got to get rid of what's not pure oil. That's got to go. So that the flame is bright and the light given, everybody can see. And they can see Jesus clearly. Something is going to fill our hearts. There's always something going to be there. It's either going to be Jesus, it's going to be something else. If anything but Jesus fills that heart, the light of faith is not going to be obvious. Because those things are going to prevent it from being seen. But if Jesus fills our hearts, others will see it. Both the saved and the lost. And they'll come alongside us. They'll lift their praises to God. They'll glorify Him and give Him glory because of His great love and grace. Here's the problem, though. We cannot fulfill this commandment. So I don't want anybody to go out here and say, I gotta work harder to live my faith out. What did we just say was the oil and the one that allows us to live out our faith, obviously, and shine our light into a lost world? Jesus is. It's not because of our hard work. It's because of His work in us. Jesus fills us. He's the key to letting our light shine. He's the key to living that obvious faith. Living faith that draws attention to Him, not to us. And see, that's the other problem. So often we go out, if we're going to do stuff, and what we do draws attention to us. And that's what happens if we do it in our own will and our own strength. We draw attention to us. But when Jesus flows through us, it draws attention to Him. And that's what we want, because that's who we want people to see. And it draws people to Him. A faith that causes others to come alongside and glorify God with us and to remain close to Him, to keep our hearts open to Him. We need to allow Him to fill us with Himself so that others can see His light and we can shine it into that dark world and we can see others come to Him. Step out of the darkness and into His light. We are to live an obvious faith. Let's live in a way that we let the light of Jesus fill us so that we just see a great harvest. So that we can do good works, share the good news, and watch the marvelous things He does in us and through us, and in the lives of others. You see, here's the thing. We are the light of the world because we have Jesus in our lives and our hearts. If we don't shine the light, who will? How many of you have seen the show Chosen on cable, whatever? I'm going through it. I hadn't seen it. It's finally on one of our streaming services, so I'm kind of going through that. Here's one of the phrases that is said several times throughout the show. It says, if not now, when? If not now, when? And that's the question for today. If not now, when are we going to let our light shine? So let's let our light shine before men. Let's live our faith in an obvious way so that everyone around knows that Jesus is in our hearts, we belong to him, and that they too can have the same wonderful grace and faithful God who assures us of our salvation, and they can join us in praising and glorifying the Father. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for our time together. We thank you that you saved us. Father, that we are yours, that you live in us, that you shine your light into our lives every single day. You pour yourself into us. Forgive us when we keep it hidden. Forgive us when we put it under that bowl so that others can't see. Forgive us when we allow other things into our hearts that cover your light up and dilute it and make it where it is just barely visible. Father, we blow it, and we know we blow it. There are times when no one could tell by the way we're acting, what we're doing, and our attitudes that we belong to you at all. But yet, your grace covers all of that. You forgive us of that, and you say, okay, you blew it there. Let's do better next time. We thank you for that kind of grace, because if it wasn't for that kind of grace, we would all be lost. None of us would be able to do what we need to do and go where we need to go and be who we need to be. Father, I thank you that your grace just covers all of our sin, that your grace empowers us to be able to shine your light, because it's you doing it through us. We can't. We are just those vessels. We just need to follow. And if we do what you ask us to do, the light will shine in a very bright way, and people will be impacted, believers and non-believers alike, and we will see a harvest. Father, I thank you so much for that promise. I thank you that you give us yourself, that you fill us with your Holy Spirit. Father, that's the only reason we can let light shine, your light shine, is because you have given us yourself. That is an amazing thing. The fact that the God of the universe dwells in me. That the God of the universe works in me. The God of the universe uses me. You don't have to. Father, you could do it all by yourself. But you choose to involve me. And so, Father, I pray that you will help me step out and do what you've asked us to do here, to let our light shine. In every situation, everything we do, may you be seen. May you be seen, not us. May you be seen. We want them to be drawn to you. We want them to notice you, not notice us, but notice you and your love and your compassion. Help us to stay connected to you. Help us to fill up with you each and every day. And Father, help us to be ready to be your hands and feet and your voice. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Jerry, our minister.